Just one more thought, huh? And I don't know if any of you are experiencing the same problem that an awful lot of people are, and that's thoughts. Problems with shutting off our thoughts at times that are really meaningless. And I saw a commercial, as you turn into Hebrews, you can get that ready. I saw a commercial with Mike Huckabee on last night, and it was for this sleep aid called Relaxium. And he was saying having trouble shutting off your thoughts. And I find, you know, like most of you, probably 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, you're up thinking about what hadn't been done yet, what needs to be done, where is this going, what's going to happen, how am I going to, you know, all of these thoughts. And I was reminded, I'm still going to buy the Relaxium. I'm going to try it. Pat, any gadget that's out there, Pat figures I'm going to get anyhow. So, but the Word of God says that we are to bring every, not. And I started, you know, and it's like, I know this, just like every one of us probably repeats, or it's not that we don't trust in those scriptures that we should be relying on, but all of the things of this earth just scream for allegiance over our Lord and Savior who sits on the throne and says, bring it to me. I care for you. Every heart cry, every burden that we have, everything that concerns us concerns him. And I wonder, with everything that's going on, do we forget it? Do we forget it, or do we just side place it somewhere? And I know that, but we don't know it. If there is worry, if there are fears, if there are doubts, if our Lord even hears my prayers, and he tells us, don't worry. What can you do by worrying? What can you do? Add a foot to your stature? No, we can't do that. But he does tell us, bring those thoughts then to me. Bring all your burdens to me. I care for you. He's got a plan. He's got an outcome for each and every one of us. And if we've walked with the footmen, as I've just heard over and over coming out of the mouths of many Christians, if we've walked with the footmen and they've wearied us, how will we contend with horses? Amen. These are little foxes right now that are coming in and chewing through the vine. What's going to happen when the artillery comes in? What's going to happen when the heavy hitters really start gearing up? The only way to prepare for that is today to start in my life. If I'm concerned, these thoughts are overpowering, I better get something into my heart and my mind that will overpower any worldly idea or thought that comes my way. That's why we're in Hebrews, I feel. That's why I can't get it past verse 2 yet. Because I don't think we know not only what we have in Jesus Christ, but who we have in Jesus Christ. And Dougie, here's a who today, to use an old kid's book. Anybody remember that one? Horton, here's a who. So I want to hear who I have in this relationship called Christianity, whatever you might label it. I'm a believer, I'm a disciple, I'm a born-again Christian, are we in Christ? And if we are, who do I have in my life watching my back? You know, military guys, you know what, I got your 6, I'm an ex-cop. You always depend on the person who's got your back. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ has our front. He's got our sides, and he is our rear reward, as the Word of God says. So I want to know, and that's why I want to just wring out as much as I possibly can out of these first few chapters, verses in Hebrews, because we've got something, as we're going to hear over the next 2-3 years in Hebrews, we've got someone better than angels, better than whatever this world has to offer. Unlike some of our other sheep that God hasn't pulled in yet, he's much more than an angel. There are masses of people that believe that he's no more than an angel. He's no more than the brother of Satan. He's no more of a created being. No, we have much more. We have a God who has chosen to come down, manifest himself to each and every one of us, that he might show us one thing, and that's his love for us. That's our eternal destinies that we have in him. How he's going to do that, I think each one of us has a kind of a different way that we're going to approach the throne, but we're going to get there because of him, not anything that we're doing. So today in our thoughts, like I said, I want to just keep increasing on not only what we have in Jesus, but who we have in Jesus. And we left off last week. I'll just read real quick, 1-3. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. That's where we left off last week. But the author keeps going, who being the brightness. And in the King James, you might have an italics there, which means that the scribes, and what they put that in to clarify the thought. And it's his glory, it says, but we might as well just read that, that Jesus Christ is the brightness of glory. Oh, doesn't that touch God? But we're going to see again.
NIV says radiance of God's glory.
Okay, well, what we're going to do is correct that possibly. No, it is radiance. You'll see in a minute. The brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things, by the word of his power, when he himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Father God, help us to still and quiet these thoughts that go on in our minds, Father. Help us to get quiet enough that your spirit, who dwells in each and every one, who has put their faith in you, Father, can reveal these. They're more than thoughts. They're promises, Father. They're yea and amens. They're the words that only you have the power, Father, to bring to that fruition in each one of our lives. So help us to see today, Father. We want to see Jesus. And I feel that's the cry of everyone's heart. Even those who don't know you, Father, they want to see something that's real, something that lasts, something that we can hold on to. So bless us by your Spirit today, in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the weeks, we've seen some of those things, and here we left off last week that Jesus, who I'll continue to say it, he's God. And if anyone maybe has other ideas, well, take it to the Lord. But Jesus is that manifestation of the God who loved this world so much that he gave. And as we sit there and think he made the worlds, I said this last week, he made the worlds, everything, the atmospheric heavens, the heaven that still awaits us, that even it is going to be, it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. He created all of that. In his awesome power, he created the stars that we see, the air that we breathe, this earth that we walk on. He created the human race, each and every one of us. Everything spiritual, everything physical. God, through Jesus Christ, along with Jesus Christ, and the power of his Holy Spirit, created the worlds, and that's not just that, it's the ages, it's everything that was and everything that still will come to be. Turn, put something in Hebrews now. We'll go to John 1, verse 3. I know we were in there, but you know, the Lord says that in these last days, well, even before the last days, we're always supposed to be this in Matthew, the Great Commission. We are going to be his witnesses, aren't we? That's what we're, you know, why, Lord, did you want me in this relationship, to be his witness, number one, here on this earth. to be with him forever, for eternity. That's the main reason. And I wonder if these thoughts that invade all of our space every single day, if it's taking away my understanding of who I have in Christ Jesus living within me. How can I go out that door and try to express to an unbeliever at this point how much Christ is offering each and every one of us? Unless I know who I have. What are the, so it's not like just go out there and tell people, you know, well, you better believe in Jesus or you're going to hell. We have to do much more. You're empty. You're hurt. You have no comfort. You don't have this. Have you thought about Jesus? Because he's the one that. And then we go down the things that we've seen here and ask then from that point, this is up to you, but do you realize what is available right now? As we stand, as we breathe, do we understand what's available in Christ Jesus? And I fear that we're too concerned about programs and goals and what about this and what's that regulation and what's this mandate. We're so consumed that we can't even go out there and tell somebody about this Jesus because my thoughts are crowded and I've missed something in who I have in my life. We're going to, you know, what do we have already? We have a God who speaks. He's not some statue sitting in a hallway someplace that never moves, never changes expression. We have a God who speaks. We have a God who loves us so much that he gave his son that I might try in my humanness to understand what he's showing me, telling me. You know, it's like anybody who's blessed with a wife, God does these things so we know that we know that we know what love really is. If you've never had wife, spouse, husband, child, it's hard. We can imagine it. We can bring those things in. But when you see a mother who never eats a dinner on her own, of her own plate, but eats the cold leftovers of the baby that they're trying to feed, how many of you have done that? That's love. That's love in action. That's God kind of trying to show us this. This is how I feel about you, but much more, way bigger. So I want us to see and hear and understand, or at least myself, this God, he created the worlds as we just had. And I know I said turn to John 1:3. It says in 3, all things were made by him. Now we either believe this or we don't. All things were made by him. And who's the him in here? Jesus Christ. See, there's a misunderstanding out there. Again, like I said, some of our other people of faith that we know, they don't believe that Jesus is God. Manifest in the flesh. This is how we become witnesses, when we can go to these and show them and let them make that decision for themselves. We need, none of us can convince anybody. I hope we understand that, to accept Jesus Christ. We just tell him who he is, how much he loves us. And then we let the Holy Spirit do that conviction, that commitment that they'll make eventually. But we try to force them into it like it's a, what was that one, an Amway. Anybody? Nobody's selling Amway, are they anymore? You are? Okay. Well, God bless you. I mean, great soap. You can wash your car, brush your teeth. You can do a, I don't know what was in that stuff, but how can we tell somebody about Jesus Christ? How can we tell somebody that he wants them? How can we tell somebody he's not just an angel? How can we tell somebody that he's not just who you think he is? He's the one that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's a beginning. Be my witnesses. Do you know, Doug, what and who you have in me? And I'm almost embarrassed at times to say that I know it, but do I live it? Do I believe it? Because when worry comes in, when fear comes in, when doubts come in, that's literally not knowing or not trusting my Lord and Savior. Remember the servant that said, oh, I knew you were a hard taskmaster, so I took what you gave me and I buried it so that when you come back, it'll be there. See, the problem with that individual was he didn't know Jesus. Didn't know who he really was, like the guys that stood in line before him. I want to know him. I want to know that I don't need to bury anything. Because as I said last week also, if we read the story of the pearl of great price and the man who went out and bought this field because of the treasure, you and I, we have to understand, we are the pearl of great price. He looked down through eternity and saw you and said, I'm going to give everything I have to buy that, to redeem that. This treasure, he didn't care about dirt and thistles and weeds and everything else. He cared about this treasure that somehow was buried in this field. And you and I are buried to a degree from the understanding of this world. Yet he paid for it. Everything that was made by him, not anything else. Figure that one out. Because then, you know, like me, when Johnny said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, Doug, when I was only saved for, my smart New York answer was, I can't push myself in a wheelbarrow. But you know, if God wanted me to push myself in a wheelbarrow, I bet you an angel would pick up the handles and run me right down into the place he wants me to go. I might be being a little foolish, but we have to know who we have in Christ today. What treasure we were to him. We're co-heirs, as we've heard. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 22. So this Jesus, you know, he lives in us by the Holy Spirit. We're going to hear more from the author of Hebrews, how he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. We need to know that. Well, where's Jesus when I need him? Is a cry of a lot of people around us. You know where he is? Right where he needs to be. He's right there at the right hand of the Father, seated there, moving things in the way so we don't go that way, moving things out of the way so we can get through it, making plans to design something for you and I that are only the best feelings, thoughts, ideas, however you want to put that. That's where this God is right now. The Word of God in 1 Peter 3 says this Jesus, who is gone into heaven, is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. You can only be a subject of someone who lives, right? Otherwise, if that one passed away, you're no longer his or her subject. This new person comes in. So here we have to understand that this Jesus, who is God, as we're going to see, is in heaven, sitting at the right hand, and angels and authorities and powers are subject to him. So how could he be just an angel if angels are subject to him? How could he not be above every name that's named in this world if he's above every authority or power? Chew on that one. This, I think, is what God wants us to tell people as we go out there and try to witness. Not that your life is going to be okay, because I think a lot of us could raise our hands. Is your life okay? It's going to be. It's well with my soul, as George Beverly used to say. But right now, it's not that good. Right now, maybe I have this situation, that situation. But he's in charge of that. And he's in heaven directing everything that has to do with us. So back to Hebrews, if you would. What do we have so far in Christ Jesus? And I mused a little bit and I thought, well, we have a God who speaks. We said that. We have an invisible God who manifests himself in and through Jesus. We read John 14, 1 through 9 last week. I'd say, let's read that one again this week. Because as he told his disciples, because a lot of, I just love to see Jesus, or I'd love to see God. And Jesus said, how long have I been with you? Well, I got 40, what do we have now, Ma? 41 years since I've given my life to Christ. How long do I have to be with you? If you've seen me, Jesus is saying, you've seen my Father. I and the Father are one. Too much for our little finite minds, but this is what we have in Jesus Christ. We have a creator of all things, everything, the heavens, the earth, everything. We just heard that he created that. But we have more than that because this creator God, Jesus Christ, wants to share it with us. Wants to share it with us. How much love is that? Where is, I don't want to use Eden because she's so sweet. Give a little kid one piece of candy and say, now share it with your brother. No. Mine. That's our inheritance. I only got a 5 here. You got any singles? I want to give them a tip. Pat always tells me, you are the cheapest guy I know. Give them the 5, you know. We have a creator who wants to share everything that he has ever made with each and every one of us. How about telling somebody that one? How about just trying to bring that love as being witnesses to let people know, well, I know what I got in Christ Jesus. I'm starting to really understand it. You too can have. What a beautiful way to be witness to, right? What a beautiful way to step out there and tell people about our Lord and Savior. We got a God, as it says right here, that is the brightness of glory and the express image of his person and upholds all things. So I started thinking about that, and it just gets so big. I don't know about you, but do you ever have a great thought, whether it's at 2:30 in the morning and God, you know God is kind of speaking to you, and you just sit there and you muse on it and you think about it, but then as soon as you get up, you can't remember a word that was said to you, what that idea might have been. So I started jotting things down. Because as I looked and I thought, you are the brightness of glory. He's it. Jesus Christ is this light. So when you were saying that before, Ma, I was thinking the brightness of his glory. We have in all of us, this isn't a big science, whatever they call it, lesson. You got the moon and you got the sun. Amen. Everybody knows, I hope, or you should. If not, you will now. The moon has no light of its own. The sun comes down, it reflects. Jesus is not a reflector. He's a radiator. Amen. He radiates this glory. He doesn't just kind of get a side shot, you know, and a little bit glows off. This is God in the flesh, so I can see him. He is the radiator of God's eminence, his light, everything that he has. I mean, we read those words, the brightness of his glory. Oh, yeah, what is that? It's God shining through Jesus Christ. And I feel if you and I have Jesus Christ in us, there should be no way we can contain that light. It should just beam out of us like it probably did with our Lord. Not only did it do it at that time when he was here walking in a physical body, I bet you something was happening too. Remember when he looked at Peter? When Peter denied him, one look melted that guy. Was that just a light that exposed every little bit of darkness that ever could have come into his mind, that opened his mind and his heart to who is this man that loves me? Let's turn to Revelation 21. Not only was it on this earth, what and who do we have in Jesus Christ? I hope I can tie this one in. Revelation 21. Some probably know where I'm going. You know, and read 21 because it talks about the beautiful reflections, let's call it, because it's not its own. But he's telling us about in 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every one was one pearl. The street was pure gold as if it was transparent. We're getting that. But then all of a sudden, I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now, if you can wrap your mind around that one, it means it's not just a, like I was saying, a pup tent or something. There is something much bigger going on here with this person, Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in his flesh. And 23 says, and the city. So there's no temple there, but there's something that's so full, 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 that we are going to experience through Christ. And not only did he see this, but he said, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. Could have left it at that. But he says, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Lamb of God. Who's the Lamb of God? Pop quiz. Jesus. We know these things, but do we know them? Is that my thought? Bob Dylan's got a song, it ain't dark yet, but it's getting there. Amen. It's really getting there. It's getting real dark, but you know, just like our little kids, have you walked Eden through a dark room yet by holding her hand? That's a physical picture of the spiritual God. Saying, don't fear the darkness. I've overcome the darkness. Take my hand. He's going to walk us right through it. But he's not going to walk us through dark. He's going to walk us into just this radiance that I don't think we really understand. Jesus Christ is the light and the glory of God in heaven. Back to Hebrews. Please. Express image, it said. And he's the express image of his person. So this is written at that time, just like a coin that had Caesar. They had a thing of Caesar. They put a piece of metal on it. Boom, boom. They smacked this imprint in there, and it's an exact imprint of the individual that it's being represented of. And that's the express image, like a coin or like a seal, an imprint. Not the actual person, but an identical image. That's what's on a coin. But remember again in John 14, and he told the followers, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Not like everybody used to, oh, Doug, you look just like your dad. How many people have somebody say, you look just like your mom. You look just like your father. And I wonder, you know, why hasn't anybody, they say, you look like John Gibney. Why hasn't anybody said, you look like Jesus Christ? I should be almost that image of him. When people look and deal with each one of us. Not a physical likeness. That's not what we're talking about in our world, about looking like a parent or having a genetic makeup that's very much like a relative. Not a physical likeness in looks, because God is a spirit. Is he not? That's something else that we don't tell people. God is a spirit. So for our benefit as we go out to witness, go back to John 1. John 1, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So what do we have in Jesus? That's that train that we're looking at. We have an exact representation, manifestation of Jesus Christ. John 4, flip over just a few pages. John 4, 24. And Teddy, here's your favorite one is in here about worship. 23, but the hour, I just threw that in because it's right there. But the hour comes, and I think the hour is now, as the word says. And if this was 2,000 years ago, you know, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Wow. Wow. But if he's a spirit, he doesn't have a human body, right? So this is what's called an anthropomorphism. Yes, did I say that correctly, Lauren? It's a way that we can describe something invisible with bodily and emotional traits, let's call them, so we can understand it. God is a spirit. What do we have in Jesus Christ? We've got God, who is invisible, sending his Son, who is a manifestation, the exact representation. He is the image. He's the brightness. He's the glory. He's the one who's talking to us. That's what we have in Jesus Christ right now as we look at this spirit. How can that be? Like I said, anthropomorphism, a way that you and I in our finite minds can understand him. See, the word, like in Isaiah, it talks about God having hands and ears. Well, if he's a spirit, he doesn't have hands and ears, does he? God is not deaf that he doesn't hear. His arm is not short, the word says, that he can't reach. So do we picture this arm coming all the way down from heaven? We picture Jesus Christ. We picture the opportunity for each individual to receive the power of his Holy Spirit. And then these manifestations become real. We understand this is Jesus. Well, who is it that's talking to me? Well, if you know God, you're going to know when it says, leave that church, forget about that, don't do that. Oh, don't worry, everybody. That's not God speaking. That's the devil. But if we know Jesus, we can hear his voice. We can feel his touch. We can feel his arms wrap around us. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. His eyes run to and fro on the whole earth to find someone who can show their God mighty. This is part of what I feel God in Hebrews wants us to know about his Son, who we are trying to tell people out there about. And Doug, if I don't know this, I can't explain it to anyone else. And I guess as a pastor, part of my job is not only being a shepherd to watch and to take care of and bind up, it's to teach, as the word says in Ephesians, part of the five or sixfold ministry, is that I should be apt to teach. And sometimes we just need to be reminded, like I do. We know these things, but we forget them. And that's what a teacher does. A teacher just keeps reminding us over and over and over. And eventually there's going to be some kind of outcome. How many times did you have to tell Eden her memory verse this week? A couple. But it worked, didn't it? That's why we need to keep hearing God's voice. Need to keep hearing what we really have, the riches of God in Christ Jesus. This is what I have. Through remembrance, through teachings, through continual pressure. And I bet you someday she doesn't even want to do that. She walked in this morning, Pastor Doug, Pastor Doug, Pastor Doug. Mommy says, tell your memory verse. She blurted out a verse from Numbers that I haven't even been in probably 6 months. Repetition, hearing what God is saying. It's that simple. He upholds all things. He upholds, if you're back in Hebrews. He's got the whole world in his hands, right? We all learned that as little kids. But you know, it's going on more than that. See, he upholds, as it says, all things by the word of his power. Our picture, and maybe I'll get into this next week, the word pheraps in the Greek is more than he's just holding up the world and he's getting tired and what's going to happen? That word upholds in the Greek, to carry along, to bear to a given point. He's upholding all of this. He's moving it along, your life, my life. to a certain point that we're going to get to. Not a maybe, not possibly, but he is bearing you and I. See, the word in Colossians 1:17 says that by him and through him and for him, all things were made, and they consist. That word consist is being held together. It's our answer to what holds the atom together. They should, anybody with magnets, who's played with magnets, that's how everything should go. But see, God and Jesus Christ are holding this whole thing together. And if they were ever to just go like that, I believe it would just go and wouldn't be. That's what I have in Christ Jesus. So my question for next week, what's upholding your world? That's where the author of this was going, I think, to these Hebrews that had the possibility of going back, whatever, you know, we know the degree, they wanted to go back to sacrificial worships, so we're going to get to that. They wanted to go back to their, you know, the three R's, rules, regulations, and rituals. They wanted that. And some of us feel that because it's almost like we need more. It can't be this simple. I messed up so bad. He can't love me. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. And I keep wanting to say Paul, the author of Hebrews, he wants these Hebrews to know who they have in Christ Jesus, what they're willing to give up for a short period of time, almost like Jacob and Esau selling the birthright for a bunch of soup, a beer, a smoke, a car, a woman, whatever, a man. He's saying, don't do it. You realize the riches that you and I have in Christ Jesus. So next week we're going to take a look at that, about him holding a whole world together. What holds my world together? I mean, I sat there the other night trying to think of that. We keep feeling, and all of us have lost. What's holding? You've lost. I think, is there anybody who hasn't lost a loved one yet? In some shape or form? Child, spouse, relative, mom, dad? What's holding us together? Why are we here? Why are we still following him? Because he's holding us together and he's not going to let go. I can kick and scream, and all the thoughts, as I started out with this morning, they can assail me all day long. But if I know that I know that I know what I have in Christ Jesus, nothing is going to pull me out of his hand, because he ain't opening it. I just want us to really start feeling it, start understanding it, what we have in Christ Jesus. So, Father God, thank you so much for your unspeakable gift. Thank you for your inheritance with all these saints that our lives have to do with, and the millions more that are still there, Father. The ones that you still need to go out in this world, gather them together. Pick them up under your arms and carry them, Lord. So help us to first understand what we do have, not what we don't have. Oh, I don't have this. I wish I had that. I want that. Father, when they did Passover, they used, if you only would have parted the Red Sea, it would have been enough. Dianu. If you only would have given us manna in the wilderness, Dianu, it would have been enough. Help us now in the time we're in to understand you are enough, that we have been given in Christ Jesus everything that pertains to God, and this holiness, this godliness that we're walking in because of you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We are going to stand and worship this God. And